It was 24 years ago this month, Danny Cannell outdueled Jeff Blake and the Bengals in New Jersey. I drove from Dayton, Ohio to New Jersey for that game. The Bengals fell to 1-7. Danny Cannell and the Giants beat the Bengals. That was not a very good Bengals team. It's a decent Giants team. Danny Cannell has gone from NFL quarterback to somebody who, I don't even know how he has time to do this. You can hear him on Sirius XM 84, Dusty and Danny show. He is part of CBS Sports Network. He is part of the Cover 3 podcast. He is on Twitter at Danny Cannell. He is with us today. Thanks to our friends at betonline.net to talk some college football. It's good to have you. You remember that game 24 years ago?
I do, because there weren't that many good games for me as an NFL quarterback. So I want to cling. I want to hang on to, with everything I've got, the small slivers of victory that I did get to enjoy. I recall Giants Stadium. I recall making a pretty nice play action pass. I believe it was to Howard Cross for a touchdown pass in that game. I think it was a little cold and a little bit rainy. Not like awful, but like typical New York, like New Jersey, like fall, like kind of ugly weather. I think I remember that.
Yeah.
But most importantly, I remember the W.
Yeah, you got the win. I remember driving all night because my dad knew a guy that had Giants tickets, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going. This is how crazy I was to watch a terrible Bengals team. And then Danny Cannell ruins the entire experience. And you're right. It was, for late October, the weather was brutal. So my memory is maybe not as pleasant as yours, but I remember it nonetheless.
I love it. Awesome.
Let's talk about your college football rankings, because you do this every single week. You release a top eight. You had our Bearcats, Cincinnati, at four. And so the pushback you're going to get from around the country is, wait a minute, okay, I get it, Alabama loses, but do you really think the Bearcats are better than the Crimson Tide? Do you really think the Bearcats are better than Ohio State? When you get that pushback, how do you respond?
Who cares? You know, like what you've done on the field matters to me. Now, that also, there's also a caveat there, because it's only six games through. For Cincinnati, it's only five. So I get it. But still, you have to be docked for losing. There still has to be a penalty for losing games. And I'm actually pleasantly surprised that the AP voters still have Cincinnati at three and have said, you know what? This team has already beaten a Power 5 team in Indiana. They've already beaten a Power 5 team and a team that was in the playoff last year in Notre Dame, and both of those wins came on the road, and they've dominated every other game they played in. Why shouldn't we have them in the top four? But what really, I'm just going to prepare you, Mo. I'm going to prepare your audience,
man,
because I hate that this is going to happen. I hate it, because I am a Group of Five proponent. I pounded the table for UCF in 2017, and I will be pounding the table for you guys, but I'm just preparing you. At some point this season, those teams that are behind you right now, Alabama, Ohio State's probably the best example, and it's probably going to sting the most. I hate to admit it, but that's kind of what's going to happen. Ohio State's going to play Penn State, and they're going to play Michigan, and they're going to play Michigan State. And you know what those AP voters are going to do? They're going to be watching Cincinnati play against Tulane, Tulsa, USF, and they're going to say, oh, now look whose resume is better, even though they have a loss. You know, Ohio State's loss to Oregon is a really good loss. So we're just going to go ahead and we're going to start dropping Cincinnati a little bit. And then at some point, it's inevitable, they're going to jump one of those Power 5 blue bloods. And I hate it for Cincinnati, because all they can do is win the games on their schedule. So I have a hunch that is coming. And it's the unfortunate nature of where we are in college football today. I hate it for the Bearcats. I hate it for Luke Fickell. I hate it for your audience that are Bearcat fans. But it's just a harsh reality of where we are.
Well, yes, I agree with everything you said. I remain a huge skeptic. As much as I love this team and as much as it's so awesome to have the excitement for it, I've watched how this has played out before. And yeah. The college football playoff is a result of Power 5 conferences getting together and creating this system, and there's only so much you can do as a Group of Five school. I think the thing that I hate most about it is, like, they're big favorites this weekend, Cincinnati and UCF, and they should be. But now they're held to a standard where it's not just good enough to win the games. They have to leave an impeccable resume, which means you have to blow everybody out, which means that's seven more games of doing that. They did it against Temple. They should do it against UCF. But to have a great season, you know, you have to survive a close call. You have to win a game that, you know what, you didn't play your best and you still snuck by. And yet you don't get any credit for doing that if you're a school like UC.
No, which is ridiculous. And they need the style points. And they have to, you know, they have to root for Notre Dame to finish out and win out this season. They have to root for Indiana to, you know, hopefully not to continue to be a disaster and at least finish with 7 or 8 wins. They've got to hope that SMU is undefeated when they square off. And then, oh, by the way, they're going to have to beat them again in the Atlanta, in the American Championship game. Like, they have to do all these things that shouldn't matter. Like, it should be about winning the games on your schedule. And if you win out, you're there. Can I propose a bet for you, Mo, that I think brings better value than saying Cincinnati wins the national championship?
Yeah, sure, please.
Because I don't – so right now at BetOnline, they're 22-1 to win the national championship, right? I think that's a pipe dream. I think there's – I mean, I think you're throwing your money away even at 22-1. But what I do kind of like is Desmond Ritter at 12-1 to win the Heisman Trophy, because it's still – he's still one of the favorites, but he's not the ultimate favorite. So 12-1, pretty good value on your money. One of the advantages that he has – is that the schedule is lighter, that they do need style points, that they will be playing with a lot of eyeballs on them against SMU in an American Championship game. We saw the Heisman voters do something different last year, taking a wide receiver. I think there's more momentum to be open-minded where you don't have to play at Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma to win the Heisman. Maybe that's, and I don't want to say it's a sympathy vote because I think it'll be deserved if Desmond Ritter gets there, but needing style points, I think he'll put up big numbers. I think he's one of the better quarterbacks in the game. And all those other quarterbacks have looked vulnerable. The favorites in there. Matt Corral is the favorite right now. Bryce Young at Alabama has looked vulnerable. C.J. Stroud has had his moments. Now, he looks pretty good lately. But of all of them, they do have tougher schedules where they could stumble. I think Desmond Ritter will be pretty clean to the finish line. I think it's worth a flyer.
Yeah, I could not agree more, and this is something we talked about before the season. If this team is undefeated, you are going to have voters who just get excited about, you know, voting for somebody from a non-traditional school from outside the Power Five. I do wonder, because you mentioned C.J. Stroud, who has really played well. You know, for a guy like Desmond Ritter to even be in the conversation, he's going to have to do well in his part of the country. And I wonder how much Stroud being a candidate would pull from a group of voters who might ordinarily, under these circumstances, vote for Des.
No doubt about it. But here's the thing. And I like C.J. Stroud. He's done everything you could ask for him. But, you know, and he struggled early. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, Mo. Like, Ohio State fans were getting a little restless, right? Hey, maybe we should look to Quinn Ewers, the redshirt, or the true freshman who hasn't even played a snap yet. Maybe we should make a move, as the offense wasn't quite as prolific as it's been against Maryland, Rutgers, Akron, and Tulsa. Now, he didn't play against Tulsa, but still, those opponents are confidence builders, but those aren't Heisman moments by any chance. He'll have another easier game, C.J. Stroud against Indiana. Should he stumble against their tougher opponents, Penn State, Michigan State, Michigan on the road, then you could see a scenario where C.J. Stroud gets knocked out, and then in goes Desmond Ritter with all those votes from that region. But like, that's a lot of things that have to play out. But I still think if you look at the path to get there and the wild nature we've seen of college football this season, Ohio State's not invincible. We've already seen them get beat in their backyard by Oregon. So Ohio State could stumble, and I think that would hurt C.J. Stroud's Heisman chances extremely.
Danny Cannell with us, thanks to our friends at betonline.net. Let me stay in this general geographic area, because maybe the biggest game this weekend is going to be Kentucky at Georgia. We saw Georgia's defense against UC last year. Different group of guys. They held some guys out, but still, top to bottom, that defense, watching them then and watching them this season, I don't know how you move the ball consistently against them. This Kentucky team has been a really nice feel-good story. I'm a huge fan of what Mark Stoops has done in Lexington, but I guess it's the same question. For that offense, how are you going to score against that defense enough to just cover the number, much less even have a prayer of winning outright?
Sometimes, you know, rankings can be incredibly misleading, and, you know, it props up certain conferences more than others, which I get a lot of heat for calling out, but the SEC – Kentucky's ranked 11. That's in large part because of the conference they play in. Now, I agree with you. Mark Stoops has done a fantastic job. I appreciate coaches who do more with less. He doesn't have a five-star, you know, 4- and 5-star top five recruiting class every single year. He maximizes the talent. But the rankings are misleading. The line is not. They're a 22.5-point underdog going to Athens this weekend. Like, that tells you that this really isn't like an only a top 10 matchup. This is a little bit misleading perception of Kentucky because they really haven't beaten anybody. And if you look at the Florida game, Florida had a punt block. They didn't play like an enormous amount of penalties. They kind of kicked the game away, which credit to, like, that's a part of the game. You win the game, Kentucky deserves credit for that. But Florida also isn't as good as they were last year. They're a little bit down. I think the wake-up call this weekend comes for Kentucky in a little bit of a harsh environment. It's also no surprise, a low-scoring game. The total's at 45. I kind of like the dogs here to lay the 22.5. I think they open it up in the second half and start to separate. But if you're Kentucky, they're going to try to run Chris Rodriguez, who leads the SEC in rushing, but that's like trying to run through a brick wall. And you might have a pretty big sledgehammer, but I just don't know if you'll get enough opportunities to get through that defensive line. But Jordan Davis is leading. You talk about dark horse Heisman pick.
Yeah.
That dude is a monster. But I just don't see any way with the Will Levis is a nice story, but he's prolific to the turnovers. I think it could be a struggle for the Wildcats.
You've kind of beaten this drum for a couple of weeks, and perhaps Alabama losing the way they did amplifies the point. But a lot of us have talked about this season and put Georgia and Alabama way up here and then said, okay, there's a gap, a large gap between 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, whoever and however you rank them. You have tended to disagree. In about a minute here, explain why.
Well, because I think we get out of our skis and we like to be emphatic in our points, so we make statements that really benefit these teams at the top as the perception of the playoff gets closer. So when Alabama and Georgia were 1-2 and people were saying, oh, they've separated themselves, I'm like, remember, it wasn't that long ago we thought Ohio State was in that tier. We thought Clemson was in that tier. We thought Oklahoma was in that tier. Now, Oklahoma hasn't lost, but they've definitely looked beatable. And while Alabama proved beatable by actually losing in College Station, I think Georgia's in the same boat. And not because of their defense, it's because of their offense. I still have question marks about JT Daniels. Is he the guy? And their schedule's going to be easy. I think they run the table, but the invincibility, I think, becomes a question when they get to the playoffs and actually have to score a lot of points, because somebody is going to figure out a way to put up 21, 28 points on that defense in the playoff, whether it's the Buckeyes, the Sooners, one of these other top-tier offensive teams. They're good, but in 2021, you can't win championships pitching shutouts. Somebody's going to figure out a way to score on you.
Danny Cannell, you can hear him Sirius XM 84 in the mornings. You could catch his podcast, CBS Sports Network, the Cover 3 podcast, and also working with our buddies at betonline.net. Danny, fun to talk to you, man. Thanks so much.
Awesome, Mo. Appreciate it. Enjoy the games this weekend.
You got it. Definitely will. BetOnline.net. Danny Cannell. We are guest free until 4:30. 513-749-1530 and 866-702-3776. I will admit, I'm not a very conspiratorial person by nature. But, I'll tell you the .. coming up in just about 20 minutes. But first, let's talk about Zach Taylor some more. I'll roll Luke Fickell into the conversation next on ESPN 1530, Cincinnati Sports Station.